It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, episode 256. I'm your host, Adam Mangum. In this episode, Matt and I recap the football game against SUU and the big men's basketball win over Princeton. We radically overreact to the win over the Tigers and say the sky's the limit for men's hoops this season. Also on the show, women's soccer, Too Little Tanner, and Doctor Strange. This is the Rise and Shout podcast. Get all of your Cougar news at CougarFan.com. Check us out on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout and listen to us right now. CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, have you seen Doctor Strange?
Like, have I seen him like in the grocery store? Yeah, or
that's kind of what I was asking.
No, I have not. I don't live in that kind of neighborhood.
Probably.
But I haven't seen the movie, no.
I did see it. I saw it yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Did it live up to the hype?
It was good. It was very entertaining. I don't know that it's top five of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
So is he like, he's like an MD?
He starts out as a surgeon, but then, spoiler alert, becomes a superhero.
So like House. Kind of like House.
Kind of like House MD. Actually, his character is a lot like Dr. House.
Oh, in that case, I may actually go see this movie.
And there's a lot of, I think, pretty clever humor. There were only four of us in the theater, so the four of us in the theater thought it was hilarious. So Monday afternoon.
Yeah, that's a tough time for movies.
I was working.
I'm not even sure why they have a showing.
I was working from home, so.
Yes, apparently.
Well, it's a long story, but it was fun to get out to a movie because my in-laws were in town, and we were like, wait a second, we could go see a movie? Here's the baby. See you later.
I'm going to be traveling later this week, so I might find myself in a theater.
Yeah, it's clever. It was good. I'm more excited for Rogue One. There's a bunch of movies I want to see. Have you seen the one? Is it Arrival? Seen the commercials for that Alien?
Yes. Yeah, one? That does look good.
That looks really good. It's getting good reviews. Hacksaw Ridge.
Hacksaw Ridge looks good.
Looks good. Obviously, Rogue One. Duh. What also? Sorry, I've been hanging around with my 7-year-old too much lately.
Hey, there's no such thing as hanging out with your own 7-year-old too much.
Well, if you start saying duh, maybe you've hit a peak. The other one I'm interested in, though I've played the video game a couple of times, but never even played it through any of the games, is Assassin's Creed.
I've never played the game. Not going to lie to you.
It looks, the ads of this one, and Michael Fassbender is quite good. I think that one could be good. But as I said, my chances of seeing those not called, not the Harry Potter movie and not Rogue One, I don't know if I'll see any of those in the theater. It's a little hard when you have a newborn. And four other kids on top of that, too. But I have five kids. Tough. That's a lot of kids.
That is a lot of kids.
Jim Gaffigan, I've heard he has five kids. I haven't heard him make jokes around five kids totally, though. Maybe it stopped being funny. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it did.
Interesting theory. So, Matt, if you want to join the conversation, we're getting, I mean, you'll find this out later, we're causing people to join Twitter. That's how powerful this show is.
You're welcome, Twitter.
You're welcome, Twitter. You're welcome, universe.
You know where to find
Internet.
Us.
Internet. But you can, of course, World Wide Web. You can join the conversation on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. You can join it on Facebook at facebook.com/RiseAndShout. Or you can send us a good old-fashioned email. Our email address should be like at Hotmail or AOL, shouldn't it? But it isn't.
Beak.
You can email us at RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. One word, RiseAndShoutPod@gmail.com. Matt, let's just move right into the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
Get all of your BYU sports news at CougarFan.com. Matt, first up, women's soccer beat UNLV in the first round of the NCAA tournament 2-0. I was able to catch some of this match on television. It was Friday night, right? I believe. Friday night. Michelle Vasconcelos and Elena Medeiros each scored a goal. Assists from Hatch, Gomes, and Barker. And Hannah Clark with another shutout, though I think she only had two saves. Only. Like, I could save them.
No, you would have had exactly zero saves.
Zero saves, and they would have had two goals. Is that what you're saying? No, if they hit it, I could be like, you've seen that Studio C, video, right? If they hit it right at my face, I might block it.
I think that if one of these, I mean, these people shoot that ball pretty hard. I think that if they shot it right at your face, it would knock you down and continue into the net.
Really?
You realize that Studio C thing is a spoof, right?
What?
It's not. That's not real.
I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I believe that's real. What's the character's name? I can't think of it right now.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
It is not Benedict Cumberbatch.
But I don't know. It's Steve Swanson.
Okay, just stop. You're embarrassing yourself.
Jason Priestley.
Matt, they have coming up. We're recording this on Tuesday night. Thursday night at 4 Eastern time, they'll be in Columbia, South Carolina to play Oklahoma in the second round. They're 14-6-2. The Sooners are. They beat SMU in the first round for their first ever NCAA tourney victory. Prediction time, Matt. Who you got in Thursday's second round NCAA tournament match in Columbia, South Carolina? BYU, 3-1.
I'm taking the Cougs. Come on. What are you supposed to do?
You got to take the Cougs. So good luck to BYU in that second round of the NCAA tournament. The next game would follow, I believe, on Saturday. By the time we record again, they'll have hopefully won a couple of games and be headed deep into the tournament, Matt. Volleyball is ranked number 10. They beat Gonzaga 3-1 and then Portland 3-0. Next up, the Mighty Dons of San Francisco. Are they the Dons? Lady Dons? Because Don is technically...
Isn't Don a man?
I think so. I don't know.
Our brother's name is Don.
He's a man.
But I've known women named Don.
That's true. Spelled differently, I think. In most cases. So volleyball, they're at the Mighty Dons, and I'm being facetious.
I think the women's team just spells it the other way.
Yeah, that's not true.
They Google that.
So the San Francisco is 4-24, Matt, 0-15 in the West Coast Conference. I believe that the Cougars may be able to take them down. Then at Santa Clara, a little bit more challenging. They're 15-12. 6-9 in the conference. Expect BYU, even on the road, to probably not lose a set this coming weekend. Women's basketball, Matt, opened their season beating Utah Valley 68-50. They are at Georgia tomorrow. Georgia is 2-0. Going to the NFL, not much to talk about this weekend. Ziggy Ansah was with the first pick in the NFL draft.
Ooh, sit down, Goodell.
The Cleveland Browns select their dignity.
They didn't select their dignity. Oh, that's
they
the
didn't
problem.
Select their dignity. 0-10, Matt.
They traded that draft pick away.
0-10. Cleveland Browns. At least they have the Cavs, Matt. At least they have the Cavs. Ziggy Ansah, the Detroit Lions were on a bye this week. Kyle Van Noy was inactive again for the Patriots. Did not play in that game. Dennis Pitta for the Baltimore Ravens, 6 catches for 26 yards. There were a couple other guys that played a little bit, but nothing of note. So we will move on to BYU football.
BYU football.
So Matt, the ever anticipated matchup with the Thunderbirds of Southern Utah University. I didn't put this in, but Matt, I have to say, I think one of the coolest stories to come out of this game was that targeting call.
Yeah, and whole interesting story, right?
Yeah.
I tweeted this, and I saw right after it happened, if the rule is about protecting players, I think you do kick him out. Now, I'm also on record saying that I think the targeting rule is ridiculous. And I would turn that's a 15-yard penalty, and if you get 2 personal fouls, then you get ejected, right?
Yeah.
That's what I would do in that situation. But that's not what we got. It was by the rule. That was a violation of the rule. And the kid got ejected.
And he apologized on the field and left the field before the final call.
I think he would have left even if they wouldn't have kicked him out. Didn't it seem like that way?
I bet you he comes back if they don't kick him out. But I think he knew, right? As soon as the hit was done, by his physical reaction, you could tell he knew, and I don't believe it was intentional. He came in, he hit the guy, he thought he had timed it just right, and he had not timed it well at all, right?
So no, it wasn't even close.
So, you know, he just made a boneheaded play, but he was cool about it. And then, Matt, you tweeted out, I believe, or was it just you texting me? I can't remember.
I was just texting you this part.
So tell the folks the next part, which some may have seen.
So the story, and I don't know if this is true, but the story is that he hung out in the stadium after the game to wait to apologize to Juergens and Juergens' wife for the hit.
Yeah.
And which, you know, I thought...
And then tweeted that he was disappointed in himself and he had always wanted to play at BYU, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. He'd said it was his lifelong dream to play in the stadium and his dream got cut short because he made a bad decision.
Yeah.
And he deserved to get kicked out. I mean, those are all the right things to say if you're him, right?
Yes,
regardless
sir.
Of how you feel about the rule, maybe the rule is stupid. Maybe it is dumb, right?
It is dumb.
Maybe you shouldn't get ejected.
No, you
right?
shouldn't. So, because think about this for a second. I can do a chop block, okay, on purpose. Engage a guy high and then go after that guy's knees, right?
Yep.
Extremely dangerous play, right? Could ruin football career very easily. And all it is a 15-yard penalty.
That's right.
I forget the announcer who was announcing the game when Nacua got ejected, but I think he had it right with this is the whole rule is a PR rule, right?
Yes.
It's not a really good rule. Again, I'm fine with the 15-yard penalty. I think the ejection is just stupid.
So, yeah, and I think the point I was making Saturday is if the rule is really about making the game safer and you're going to kick people out, then that's the type of play you're trying to avoid.
Yes, absolutely.
As a guy who's looking, you know, you got a return man who's looking up in the air and just takes it right in the chops, you know, right in the head, head first or whatever. So if you're trying to clean it up for safety's sake, that's the stuff you're trying to prevent. Not the, like, both of the guys are dropping their head or these other types of situations. It's not – or you know, completely inadvertent shoulders to that graze the face mask and just crazy stuff.
Right, right.
But, you know, it is what it is. You know, and I tweeted a friend of mine who's an administrator at SUU, and he did tweet back at me, telling me that this is just a great kid.
Seems like a classy fellow.
You know, you go through his Twitter feed, I mean, he just seems like a real normal guy. He's disappointed that it worked out the way that it did.
It's hard when you're moving at full speed, but if you look at the NFL now, in that Patriots game, for example, there was a hit on Gronk that I thought at first blush had been a targeting helmet to helmet type of play. And then when you look back, guys are starting to lead with their shoulders and hit the chest. You know, I remember Troy Polamalu once in an interview that I saw saying, if you change the rules and it's clear, the guys will adjust, right? They'll figure it out. Because you can't, you know, just get 15-yard penalty after 15-yard penalty, right?
And have people getting thrown out of games and all
that.
Yeah,
you can't do that. Eventually, you will adjust. Now, I'm with you. I'm not sure sometimes that this is all about player safety. But anyway, so Matt, with this SUU game, did we learn anything about the Cougars in this game?
I think I saw a tweet bag question on this, so I don't want to jump too far ahead of the game. But did we learn that Tanner doesn't know the offense as well as Taysom does?
Let's go to the stats. So we'll go to the tweet bag, Matt. This is from Gary Payne. Gary Payne, that's Fast Break GP on Twitter. He came to Twitter for the podcast. We drove him to Twitter.
We've driven people to worse.
So he said, do you think Tanner looked comfortable, Matt? Let me go to the stats, okay?
Yeah, you like to do that. You like to
stats.
Go to numbers.
All right. 11 of 13 passing for 121 yards. Yes, the one sack was atrociously terrible.
Okay. Gosh.
It was so one bad. Of the worst sacks so I've ever seen a quarterback take.
Not as bad as the like multi-fumble sack that Jay Keeps had against Utah.
No. Okay, fair enough. Not as bad as that. But, I mean, he just kept going backwards. And it's like with his arm strength, dude just throw it to the sideline.
No, see, he thought he was going to get escape. Free and be able to throw yes. it away or find some, you know what I mean? Yes. He was going to have another chance to make that decision.
It's a terrible play, but it happens, quite frankly. He underestimated. Their front line, SU's front line on defense was actually pretty good.
Right.
I thought there's some guys there that could have probably play at bigger programs.
But that's true at a lot of schools that size, right?
No, it's true. Yeah, no, absolutely. I just think that's the one unit on SUU where I said, you know, wow, they've got some players there. On offense, there wasn't a single player where I was like, wow, that guy could play at BYU, for example. I think one or two of those defensive linemen could work their way into our rotation. I think they were some of them, a couple of them were that good.
Careful now.
Hey, we're starting two SUU offensive linemen, so let's not bag on the program too much. So, Matt, do you think he looked uncomfortable?
What did you say? It was 11 of 13?
Yeah. So he missed two passes.
And on one of those, there was a miscommunication about which way the receiver was going to turn.
Was it his bad call on the coverage or Kurt's? Probably Mangum's, just because Kurt's been running this offense all year.
So Kurt's gets the benefit of the doubt in that circumstance. Okay.
So what? He'll miss his people all the time. We don't say he's uncomfortable with the offense.
Well, I don't know if I'd call him comfortable.
Yeah.
But
No, he looked, Taysom looked great dumping the ball off to Braden L. Bakri, who then was able to, you know, average 17 yards a catch.
Yeah, where did that guy come from, by the way?
He looked great. Now, I don't know if that works against a better defense, by the way. But man, that guy looked great. I don't see any concern. I have no concerns about Tanner Mangum going forward. None. Zero.
I don't know. Why'd they pull him out so fast?
Why did they pull him out? It was unless he was like adjusting his equipment or Tanner or Taysom had some physical or equipment issue. What the freak was that?
It's very strange.
Very weird, right?
Yeah.
So anyway. We'll move on. Matt, the only real news to come out of this game is we got some running back injury issues. Algie Brown looks like he might not be available for UMass. Obviously, we don't know about Jamal. We've got Canada struggling with some injuries. We got to see Hall, and obviously El Bakri did a very nice job at fullback, but again,
and those two guys against UMass, and we'll be fine.
Yeah. Well, UMass is terrible. I don't know that they're that much better than SU.
The only thing at risk at this point is Jamal Williams and how many rushing yards he's going to end up with.
Yes. That the single season record is now in doubt because I think they're going to be careful with him and save him for Utah State in the bowl game.
Why would you play him this week? Even if he feels better, why would you put him on the field? I wouldn't.
I don't know why you would.
I think he sits another week, and then you play him against Utah State, and then he can rest up real well before you play Wyoming in the bowl game.
So
trying to call them Wyoming.
So you can Sagarin ranks. Ranks not just the FBS teams, but also the FCS teams, okay? Sweet. So he has Southern Utah at 152nd, okay? Let's find UMass. How is he going to have him listed? Not as UMass, apparently.
No, because UMass, you might remember, is no longer an FCS team.
Yes. 140, okay? So the difference between 140 and 152 is not that high, okay? UMass is probably a better team, but not by a ton. Okay, there we go. There we have it. How easy was that?
So we put a lot of thought into this, you know. What do you do with when do you play Tanner? How much of Taysom do we really expect to see? Blah 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 blah.
Blah 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 blah.
And then we're all kind of concerned that, you know, we didn't see as much of Tanner as we expected. Do you think that's because they figured that they didn't want to give Taysom 2 weeks off, really? Two games off?
I think there's probably some reasonable truth to that. Don't you think? I mean, that makes sense, right? 2 weeks off, you could get a little rusty, right? In theory, you could.
Yeah.
And I think you want him for Utah State, though they're not great. If we go back to Mr. Sagarin, Utah State is let's see, where do they have Utah State is 97. So again, they're a level up from UMass, but still not very good. Obviously 3-7 at this point. So how much do you think we see Mangum on Saturday against UMass?
I think we see a lot more of him.
You think?
I think
really?
He comes into the game in the second quarter.
Yeah, I think you see a half and a half based on what we saw Saturday. I think they're going to give Taysom a full half. But we'll see. I don't know. Do you think we see Jamal at all?
No, I wouldn't I wouldn't even suit him up. I wouldn't even suit him up and warm him up for the game.
Yeah, yeah.
I would just let him rest.
Let him rest.
Let his body heal up.
We have another tweet bag question, Matt.
Tweet bag.
This is from our brother Don. He asks an interesting question, which is, do you remember hearing about UMass football when we all lived in Massachusetts? No. Do you ever remember hearing about UMass football?
Only when kids got recruiting letters. Mm. Because you got to remember, when we lived there, right? So if you look at UMass now, is not their football program is not the same that it was then. Right now, it's an independent. What are they? They're, you know, it's a D1 program,
yeah,
now,
independent,
right?
Independent FBS team, yes.
So, but that's not the situation we were in at the time. So you weren't going to hear anything about them. You weren't going to hear as much as you would as like Boston College and Notre Dame. Those, and when you're trying to compete, because that's the market in Boston for college football, right? It's BC and Notre Dame.
Yes, and Notre Dame with capital letters and Boston College with lowercase letters.
Right. So UMass, you know, isn't really going to get a seat at that table. But yeah, the only time I ever heard of them was if somebody was getting a look to go play.
Yeah. So they had been in the FCS since 1978. Before that, they were Division II. And they didn't. I think they've only. I mean, they've had football like forever. I think. Let's look here. Yeah. Yeah, because I remember somebody telling me once that their program had started in 1879, which is kind of crazy to think about. But anyway, so that's kind of their history. They're independent now, and from what I've read, I don't think they've got any imminent joining of any conference.
But if you're a UMass, like, is independence really sustainable for you?
I don't know.
How long can you do this?
I don't know. They've been doing it for a few years.
Yeah, but they're 2-8.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, they're 2-8, and this hasn't exactly been a banner schedule either. Right? I mean, look at it. Florida started off, got killed by Florida, killed by BC. Beat Florida International. They did have a close game with Mississippi State.
Yeah, but who hasn't, right?
Got beat by Tulane, kind of close. Old Dominion? They lost Old Dominion?
Yeah.
That's an FCS team, right? Old Dominion's not FBS.
Old Dominion has also squeaked themselves up a little bit.
Yeah. Louisiana Tech, a loss at South Carolina, kind of close there.
Old Dominion's a Conference USA team.
They are?
Yes.
No.
Why can't UMass get into something like that?
No, Old Dominion really is?
Yeah. Yes. They're Conference USA.
You just made that up.
They're right now, they're 5-1 in the conference. They're right behind Western Kentucky for first place in their division.
Old Dominion?
Old Dominion Monarchs.
Huh. Who knew? Who knew?
So that's what I'm saying. If you're UMass, why can't you get in? Why can't you get into Conference USA?
Oh, and they're at Hawaii to end the season. I had forgotten that.
I mean, it's crazy.
They
did beat
Wagner, which Wagner, by the way, is a lot. I mean, SUU was a step up above Wagner, right? I mean, like a serious.
Oh yeah,
step up.
SUU guys can play. Yeah, those SUU guys can play.
Yeah, there were some kids on that team that could really really play. Like I said, Wagner. As of right now, Sagarin has them as 207, so they are a level below SUU.
Terrible.
They're just terrible. So, Matt, we're making no predictions. BYU wins by a ton, right?
Yeah, by a billion.
So let's look forward to the rest of the season briefly before we move on to basketball. And actually, we're going to also talk college football playoff a little bit here as well, because it was a crazy college football playoff week, right? Because of all the losses. What was it, like 6 teams in the top 10? 5 teams in the top 10? Whatever the number was. But we'll get to
insanity.
That in a second. Johnny Ashton on Facebook asks, does Corbin Kafusi have a decent chance of making an NFL roster as a field goal blocking specialist? I don't think so. I think he's going to have to be more valuable than that. But I'd give him a decent shot to make a roster.
Yeah, maybe. I don't see a lot of teams reaching out for for somebody who specifically specializes in blocking field goals, but.
But this is his first year playing college football, right?
He could be like Ziggy.
I don't know if that's true, but he is a really good athlete, right? I mean, we've seen that on the basketball court. I mean, he's picked up. You know, basketball, I know he played it his whole life, but you know, he was really raw when he came to Dave Rose, and he was a significant contributor last year, right?
He can play.
So he's a good athlete. I honestly wonder about him is he too tall to be a tight end?
Yes.
He probably is, but he's kind of like, don't you think some team's going to take him either in the draft or sign him as a rookie free agent and just see what they can do with him? Right? Don't you think
somebody
does?
There's always the Jets. I mean,
stop it. Like a quality program. Like an actual NFL team, not the Jets or the Browns.
The NFL's thinking about putting together a developmental league. And I heard somebody say that, and I thought they already had one.
Yeah, they do.
It's the Jets.
Yeah, they do. So let's see, college football playoff, Matt, let's jump into it. Okay.
Oh, here we go.
So the top 4 teams as of today is Alabama, obviously. And then you've got the 5-9-1 schools. Okay. 5-9-1 schools.
Okay.
Ohio State, Michigan, and Clemson is who they've chosen, for their top 4. And then just outside, you got Louisville and Washington. Okay, and then our good old friends of Auburn lost another game, so they're now a 3-loss team. So Matt, looking at that list, do they have it right? Are those the 4 best teams? If it ended today, is that your playoff?
It's tough.
Oh, it's crazy now, isn't it? Like, part of me wants to say Louisville, but how can I say Louisville over Clemson? But you can, though, in a certain way, because you can say, well, Louisville has a better loss than Clemson's loss, right?
Well, and how'd they do head-to-head?
Clemson.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like these circular arguments. The good news is Ohio State and Michigan, for everyone else, that is, the good news is they're both not going to be in the top 4.
Right, that'll get settled.
That one gets settled out. Clemson and Louisville might both win out, so maybe them. If Washington wins out, what about
they won't.
What about Wisconsin? With 2 losses.
Here's the problem. So Washington loses. Let's say Washington loses a game. They become a 2-loss team.
Yes.
Michigan and Ohio State play each other, so one of them is a two-loss team.
Yes.
Alabama's undefeated. And then Clemson and Louisville, let's think about this one for a second, won't play each other again.
Nope, they will not play each other
but
again.
Let's, and the winner, and yeah, that's, yeah, nobody in the Coastal Division is going to beat either of those teams.
No, I don't think so.
So Clemson is a one-loss team. I think you still have those four.
So here's another scenario.
And the two-loss Big Ten team becomes the number four team. I don't think you get Wisconsin in.
I think it's possible. I don't think it's at all likely. But I think Wisconsin could get in if they win. No, I think they're in if they win the Big Ten championship game. Because that means they will have beat Michigan or Ohio State. And their only losses will be to Michigan and Ohio State.
And then the team they beat will have two losses. And the other team will have two losses because Michigan or Ohio, right.
Correct.
So then you have those three two-loss teams coming out of the Big Ten. You take the conference team.
You've got to take the champion. And I think the committee will take the champion. And the Big Ten
that
is
happens,
too good
if that
this
happens,
year.
Do you still take Ohio State or Michigan, or are they both out?
Because
if they're both out, I think you're right. I think Wisconsin goes, but then maybe Louisville gets in.
I got another crazy scenario that people aren't going to like.
Two ACC teams?
Yes. Are you ready for this crazy scenario? Okay, you ready for this?
Yep.
Utah. They're lurking out there at 12, okay, or 14 or wherever they're at. If they beat Colorado, they've beat USC. I believe by those rules, they would advance to the championship game against likely Washington State, though it could be Washington. Okay, if they win the championship, then Utah is your two-loss Pac-12 representative.
Oh boy!
With their only, you know, but that ugly loss against Cal is the one that will haunt them.
They need Wisconsin to win the Big Ten championship.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. There are so many that this weekend absolutely threw everything into chaos, and it's beautifully wonderful. It was looking so clean, Matt, just 6 days ago when we were talking about this, 7 days ago. It looked like, well, that could be the four. Right? That could be the four. It's Clemson, Michigan, Alabama, and Washington. Done. They all went out. We're done. And what a great four it would be, right?
What about Oklahoma? He's got Oklahoma hanging out there.
Oklahoma's still hanging out there. Penn State, though, they would need some weird things to happen. Colorado is probably the more realistic there because all they have to do is beat Utah. But I would, you know, because one of their losses is Michigan, right? So Colorado's lurking out there. West Virginia is still kind of lurking out there.
The problem is going to be Oklahoma. Well, if Oklahoma is able to,
But they play this week. If West Virginia beats Oklahoma,
and then they still have to play Oklahoma State.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I love what the Big 12 has done. They're going to play themselves right out of a berth.
Yes, yes. Isn't it wonderful? I hate that league now. Though it wouldn't be bad for us if you know that loss against, man, we almost beat them. That's annoying, isn't it? We almost beat those turkeys.
Extremely annoying.
So anyway, Matt, very exciting. But let's move on to basketball before we run out of time.
All right.
Last night.
Holy smokes.
BYU basketball opens up with Princeton. You and I had talked about how, you know, this is a game that could, I don't want to say make or break a season because your first game does typically not do that. But because of the non-conference schedule, this was a big game, right? It's a big game. And we both thought, well, unfortunately, it's the first game with a very young team. And so we're not likely to see, BYU win this one. I thought Princeton would win. experienced team against a young team. I just thought that's how it would break down. Matt, that is not how it went down.
That's not what happened at all.
So Matt, let's work through a couple things, but I think first let's start out looking at the box score, Matt. Eric Mika just got, well, not just, but first game off his mission, okay? 26 points.
Off his two-year mission trip.
Off his two-year mission trip to Italia. 26 points, 18 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks, and a steal. 7 of 14 shooting, and 12 of 13 from the free throw line. I tweeted out last night, Matt, that if this free throw shooting for him is real, this changes him from really good college player to potentially elite college player. Okay? And I'm not exaggerating there. Matt, is this even possible that he did this against a quality opponent? I mean, it'd be another thing if we were playing some terrible team, right? But Princeton's a very likely NCAA tournament team.
Yeah, they probably are.
And
he's that good.
He's
good. Just that good.
9 offensive rebounds. 9 offensive rebounds. As many as Princeton had as a team, he had by himself. So, TJ Hosmat, he's going to be overwhelmed by the Division I game straight off his mission, right?
It'd be too. That's a hard transition to make.
Hard transition, not so much. 20 points, 3 steals, 3 of 6 from behind the charity stripe. Matt, the big three of Lone Peak, they're apparently our big three. And it's already happened. Am I overreacting, or has it already happened? It's already happened, hasn't it? Didn't they just show us last night that it's their team? It's the Mika, Haas, and Emery show?
It certainly looks that way, doesn't it? I mean, I got to the end of that game, and I was like, we're going to the ship. This is it. This is the year. This is the year. Final Four, baby. This is going to be it. It's going to be amazing. But we've got to throttle it back just a little bit.
We'll get to that in a second, okay? Gary Payne, second appearance in the tweet bag today at Fast Break GP. Why did we go back to the 1-3-1-D when they smoked us earlier? Matt, I was thinking the same thing. I just think Rose, that's a defense he really likes. And I think he was trying to give it another shot to see if they could do better job. I actually think down the road that might be a good defense for us, especially with Haas at the top. Because like Collinsworth, he's got that length, you know, to disrupt those cross-court passes against the 1-3-1. Were you at all surprised by that? Or did you just like, that's something we've been using for years now?
I think he was just going back because he thought he could make it work.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think it will work at some point. We'll get to the second part of Gary's question here in a minute. No, let's do that now. We've got
Let's get to it. This is the best part of his question.
0 to Ainge, updated excitement level for the basketball season. And then Spencer Lindemann, that's at the LDS SDL. What's the ceiling for this year's basketball team? And then where do they need to improve to get there? Matt, let's start with Gary. 0 to Ainge, is that a new scale? Have we talked about 0 to Ainge before?
I think we've used 0 to Ainge before.
I think we have. 0 to Ainge, what is your level for men's basketballs at this point?
Am I going to shock you if I say Ainge right now?
No.
I'm at Ainge.
I'm at Jimmer. Not quite at Ainge, but I'm pretty darn close. Jimmer's pretty high, right?
Think about this for a minute. I mean, look at where we are in the season.
They dismantled I think right now we're better than St. Mary's. I think we're the second best team in the West Coast Conference.
Oh, this is the year. West Coast Conference tournament, baby.
I'm telling you right now.
We need to buy tickets right now. We need to plan to be in Vegas.
I'm thinking about it, and I'm not joking. This team, I mean, we are totally overreacting. Hashtag overreaction, okay?
Oh, yeah.
But
this is fun.
But my gosh. Mika's, of course, not going to average 26 and 18. Haas is not going to average 20. But Emery's also not going to shoot 1 for 7 from the 3-point line. I mean, this was not a outside of Mika, this was not that great of an offensive game for BYU. They're going to play offensively better than this. And if you're a team in the West Coast Conference, seeing them beat Princeton while shooting 25% from the three-point line, 40% from the field, that's not – you're probably thinking, oh, boy, if these guys hit a stride. Like if Emory had been on last night – now you can say, of course, well, Princeton had some good shooters that were off last night too, right? But, you know, if Emory had been on, this is a 90-plus point game for BYU.
Yep.
Right? So Matt, at this point, is there anything to answer Spencer's question about where they need to improve? What do you think do you think the weaknesses are, of course, based on just one actual game?
Well, I think you go back. You cited some of the shooting from beyond the arc. I think that's got to get better. I think you need Emory to do better than 1 for 7 out there.
Yep, he did good on drives, and he had 15 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, and 3 steals. That's still not a terrible night, right?
No, it's not a terrible night at all.
But he's got to take better shots too. Some of those Jimmer threes. I know he's got great range, but he doesn't have to carry this team by himself. That's obvious at this point, right?
Right.
Is this Mika's team or is it Emory's team?
It's Mika's team.
It's totally right Mika's team, isn't it? Yeah. At least through game one. Matt, you know who else I was super impressed with, and I'm really glad that we got him, is LJ Rose.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's great that he can bring the ball up and Emory can act as the two guard. I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, I like him a lot.
He looks solid. Another worry I have, though, is outside of Rose, I'm a little worried, just like I was last year, about our perimeter defense against elite guard play. We did not see elite guard play last night, and we will see it from St. Mary's and Gonzaga.
Yes.
So that's an issue. Any other weaknesses you see off the top? So from this game,
you know, this one's hard to see just because Mika was so dominant. But I think you need a little bit. You're going to need somebody else who can fill in when he's not cleaning up the offensive boards.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to get 9 of those every night.
Nope.
And somebody's got to be ready to fill in that gap. I don't know that we saw that there isn't anybody. Right.
Right.
Sometimes it's about opportunity, but somebody, we just need to know that somebody's going to be there to handle that. You know, defensively, not as much of a concern, just looking at the numbers. But you got to be able to get those second shots, offense. And so that one's not jumping out to me as much as the 3-point shooting. But I think the 3-point shooting gets better.
Yoli Childs, looks raw. But he looks really talented too.
Yeah,
I would say that was another one that, you know, that's somebody that could later in the year fill some of that role potentially, for sure. I mean, he had 6 rebounds in 23 minutes in his first collegiate game right out of high school. So, Matt, obviously we are both giddy at this point.
Oh, I'm like. Yeah, this is it's well anyway. Yeah, I'm setting myself up for disappointment probably. But.
Well, let's jump into further overreaction madness, Matt. Justin Whiting asks, that's at JN Whiting on Twitter. How many future NBA players are on the current basketball team? Will any be significant players in the NBA? So let's start with Mika, Matt. Is he going to be in the NBA?
Looked like it the other night.
Yes, I think he plays in the NBA. Significant, he's going to have to improve, but I think he is I think his ceiling is a 1 or 2 time All-Star, and I think his median is probably like a contributing backup big man in the NBA.
Yeah.
Anybody else on this roster that you think could play in the NBA? Haas? He's got a weird frame.
He does.
But
he definitely does. The eye test doesn't get you there.
The eye test doesn't get you. Weird frame, balding dude, and he is balling like crazy. You know? Who's that guy when I was at school, the bald guy that could dunk like crazy? Campbell? Who am I thinking of? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I love the bald guys that look like they're 40.
Yeah, but are total ballers.
Yeah.
Emery, I think, is not an NBA prospect at this point. Childs could be. I mean, obviously, he's a freshman. He's got a long way to go. But
I think it's too early to tell on some of those guys.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. For sure. Mika is the best pro prospect on the roster today, I think.
I mean, if you look at, you know, some of the guys that have come through the program that have not really broken the, you know, cracked the code at the NBA level. You know, Brandon Davies, you know, has stuck around a little bit, but you know, Jemmer, Hawes, you know, a lot of these guys that were all time greats within the last several years that couldn't quite get there.
Collinsworth.
Yep. So, you know, when I look at this list, I think you gotta temper your expectations a little bit.
Yeah.
And Eric the other night certainly looked like, and I like calling them by their first names because it makes me feel like I actually know him. But certainly showed that he's got, he shook off the rust. He shook off the mission rust. Okay.
Yeah.
It looks like.
Yeah, for sure.
And just really turned in a dominating performance. So, you know, if he can do that for a year or two, I think he could have a chance. He could be one that does it.
So Matt, coming up this week for the Cougars, we've got Thursday night Coppin State, Saturday night Coastal Carolina. This is all part of the MGM Grand main event. Both of those games.
Chanticleers.
Yes, the Chanticleers. We have them coming up on BYU TV later this week. Monday, St. Louis at the MGM Grand Garden Arena in South Las Vegas, Nevada. And then either Alabama or Valparaiso on Wednesday, as all part of that. Both of those games will likely be broadcast in some way through the ESPN family of networks. Matt, we will actually be recording probably during that St. Louis game. So we'll see. We may be like live talking about it or something. We'll see how that goes. But obviously they've got another chance against not necessarily the first three teams, but against Alabama or Valpo of getting another quality win early in the season. I feel much better about their chances of sweeping those four games than I did a week ago, for sure.
They might not lose a game till December.
That would be crazy. The hype would be off the charts. If they went into the USC and Los Angeles game undefeated and possibly ranked, that would be
insanity.
But we're getting way ahead of ourselves. But it feels good.
Oh, because I'm Ainge excited about it. That's why.
That's right.
I'm way ahead of myself on this.
That's right, you are. So let's do this, Matt. If you've made it to this point in the podcast, hashtag Ainge excited. One word, hashtag Ainge excited. If you've made it to the end of this podcast and are also Ainge level excited for the BYU men's basketball team after their victory against the Princeton Tigers. As I mentioned, Matt, we will be back next week. We'll record on Monday because of the short week with Thanksgiving. I want to give you guys plenty of time to listen to us yap. Maybe you can listen to us while you're eating your turkey.
Hey, this podcast makes a great side dish for Thanksgiving
Day. That's true. And if you've got annoying relatives there, just put in one of your earbuds and nod. And
Make the BYU Rise and Shout podcast a new Thanksgiving tradition in your home.
Yeah, I like that. So, Matt, with the UMass
Rhodes
game,
rolls.
It's my turn to do the halftime show. Should I do the entire halftime show in my Boston Batman accent?
That sounds very ridiculous.
Doesn't it? I'm not going to do it. But I might do part of it in Boston Batman.
I think
Batman.
You would have... I don't know that the world is prepared to watch you do the Boston Batman
for like 8 accent. Minutes or 10 minutes of...
For 8 seconds. I'm not sure that the visual of it might be more than the internet can bear.
Well, let's put it this way. I do have a Batman mask. Of course I did.
See, now you're talking. Now you're talking.
So I could be like, have you ever seen Bat Dad?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I could be like Bat Dad, but my Boston Batman doing some analysis on the first half of the UMass game.
Yeah, Bat Dad does not go over as well in my house as it seems to go over in that guy's house. I don't know what the problem.
Hey, but your wife's name is Jen. That's his wife's name. He always said, yep. Jen! Yep. You should try that. Let me know how it goes.
Yeah.
So if you are interested in me doing any Boston Batman during that halftime show, tweet at us, Facebook at us. Facebook at us? Is that a thing?
Nope, it is not.
So anyway, we will do the halftime show. Join us there, facebook.com/riseandshout. Matt, anything else before we close out today's show?
I thought we were going to do some over-unders. I was going to throw out what's over-under number of games Tony Romo starts for the New York Jets in 2017.
Okay.
I was going to set it at 1.5.
I'm taking
point
the five, over.
0.5.
I'm taking the over. Why are you setting it so low? You got to do it like 3.5.
Because he might go to the Dolphins.
He's not going to the Dolphins. He's going to the Jets.
That's going to be great.
He's going to the Jets. Maybe awesome. He'll go to Cleveland. I got an over-under for you. You ready for this?
Yep.
Over under. Let's see. How do I best want to phrase this one? Over under. Okay. Yeah, this is better. Not an over and under. Which happens first? Okay. Minnesota Vikings win a Super Bowl or New York Jets win a Super Bowl?
Oh, Vikings.
I'll tell you this right now. If you talk to any Vikings fans right now, they are pretty, as a Minnesota resident, they are pretty unhappy, folks. They were so excited. As they should be,
but they're still not the Jets.
They were so excited after 5-0. But they kind of feel like they'd rather at this point be 2-6. Or 2-7. You know? Like, why did you raise our hopes only to destroy them? It happens. Well, anyway, Matt, this has been the Rise and Shout podcast. We appreciate you downloading and listening. Join the conversation, as always, on Facebook, Twitter, email, however you else see fit. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars! There's a time.